Welcome everyone to the Film Vault, big Film Vault this week. That's Anthony. I'm Brian Bishop, your host for this week, Summer Preview 2019. Films we're looking forward to the most this summer.
Summer Preview 2019. Yeah, I was doing the wrong list for most of the week.
You really were. You alarmed me. Yeah. You alarmed me. But we are on board for a top five. How many movies you have?
Only five.
What?
It's not really that. I don't want to start off on a negative Nelly note here, Bri, but it's not really looking, shaping up to be much of a killer summer. It's almost like the studios are all so scared of Endgame that they think that people are just going to do nothing but watch Endgame.
It's so weird, right? It's like, how many times can one see Endgame?
I don't remember a summer where so few titles are coming out. Now, things will change and other movies will be released, like especially in August, that far out, that we don't know about yet. They'll move things around. But there's very few movies coming out this summer. And I think a lot of it does have to do with the old Endgame over there. Because, you know, they do the marketing, they figure out, oh, most people see 2-3 movies a year. You know, they know exactly what the average, the median is. And then they're like, they're all going to see Endgame.
Wow, that's one movie off the board.
Mm. So I think that they're probably waiting, or they already rushed, because we've had quite a few releases already here. And we're only in April, and we've had a lot of releases this year. Summer months, so not a ton.
Every year I forget to go back and look at the summer previews from years past, but I'll do that right now.
Oh, son of a bitch. Should I too?
Yeah, we really
all right, stall for time. Stall for time.
We should do the break. Let's do the break?
We don't take breaks, sir.
We really do.
All right, go ahead.
Summer previews.
We'll do it at the break.
I was going to say.
We'll do the break.
All right, break.
All right. Break. So, you seen any good movies?
I don't really like movies, but we should talk about it anyway.
Oh, hey, thanks for all you fine folks that are out there sending money to the LSS, the lymphoma. Oh, no, the L. I got that wrong.
LLS.
LLS, Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. I know some of you have bought numerous raffle tickets. The one I'm talking about, in case you don't know, is if you would like a chance to win the golden ticket, which would enable you to come out and come bowling with Bald Brian and I. I don't know why I just called it Bald Brian, but Brian and I, as well as my PAB friends over there, Mike Carano and Tyler White, as well as Greg Srizavosti from Cinema Dicks. All of us are going to get together at a bowling alley, throw back a few pops, have some wings, and wax poetic while we bowl. And if you'd like a chance to win, all you got to do is buy at least one raffle ticket. They cost $10 a piece, and all the proceeds are going to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, a very good cause. And it's being led by my producer, my grouper's producer, and he got us involved in that. So
are we able to track which show brings in the most?
Yeah, he has a system, but I've not spoken with him. I meant to call him today, but I just did not. I sent him a text yesterday, never heard back, but I'm learning that people aren't getting my texts if they don't have iPhones because of some new software update. So if you're losing friends or getting angry because people aren't responding to you, a lot of this is going on, apparently.
Really?
People aren't getting texts.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting. All right. Last week, I foolishly offered to match donations. That is not going to happen. But I tell you what, though. I tell you what I will do.
Mm.
I mean, how incensed I was, Anderson, that you were going to pay for someone's flight out here.
God forbid they should
be from out of the area. Because that money should go to the LLS, the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. I might have that wrong backwards. But either way.
I've done it numerous times, so don't sweat it.
I thought about it. I was thinking, how do I incentivize like our fans?
You
got
to pay for the Uber out here?
Listen to this. If the Film Vault is the show that brings in the most, because I know there's some people here listening, they're crossover listeners, they listen to both, and they're like, oh, which one should I support with my raffle ticket?
Where are you going here, Brian?
If the Film Vault's the one,
yeah,
I fly the guy out here.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
I'll fly the winner out here. Now, a couple of caveats. You got to get me near a major airport or get to a major airport.
Right.
I'm not flying you from a municipal airport in the middle of goddamn Dakotas.
Understandable.
LA. That said, if you get to a major airport, we will agree on a mutually agreeable flight out here for you. God willing, you're from the LA area or San Diego or something like that. But on the unlikely chance that you're from somewhere else, or the unlikely chance you're from LA, from somewhere else, and the Film Vault is the big winner, I will fly out the winner.
Look at that. Brian's a giver.
And you don't have to be from the Film Vault, just as long as the Film Vault has the most donations.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. That's very nice.
Whoever the winner is.
Brian's going to pick up the tab if we, in fact, win. I like that, Brian. We should also say United States, right? Did you say that?
Thank you very much. That's a very important thing.
You can't be from Australia. Sorry, guys.
No
maybe
international.
Maybe you'll subsidize their flight.
Or if you can't get a direct flight, if you want to fly to San Francisco or something, from Australia, then yes, I'll fly you the remaining leg.
Very nice. And finally, for the plugs up front, Groupers, I mentioned it last week, but playing at a big, not a big, I was playing at a festival out here. It might be the last time that it plays in the LA area, or it might not be. I'm not sure because I'm still fielding offers and we have not landed on our distributor yet, but it will be playing June 8th, Saturday night at 10 p.m. Last week I said 8 p.m., but it's actually 10 p.m., is the spot that I wanted initially for festivals, like the late night screenings, like the midnight type screenings. So 10 p.m.
people in bed with nightmares.
8 p.m. would have been fine, but 10 p.m. is what the guy said, and I'm like, that's if I could pick a time, because there's only Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the festival.
That's the one.
So it's Film Invasion, and you will see links on AndersonandBryan.com. As well as everywhere else. I put them up on Facebook. So if you'd like to come out, tickets are $15, but you get them for $10 with my code 19groupers, which I will also have on the website there. So come on out. It's going to be a Q&A. It's a small little intimate theater, too. It's only like 90 seats. So let's fill this fucker up. Have a good time. It might be the last time the grouper shows on the big screen. It could very well be the last time that we actually see this in a group. Nah, I'll still show it somewhere, I'm sure, down the road. But yeah, this is
probably the last festival setting.
Yeah, it could be. Could very well be, because festivals are I only have like 5 or 6 to hear back from, and none of them are local here in L.A. So if you live out in the L.A. area, if you've already seen it, come on back out. If you have not seen it yet, now is a good time. So I saw a film. How many films did you see, Brian?
I saw 2 and possibly 3.
All right.
Depending on how many we get to.
All right.
How many see?
I saw 2.
Okay.
I saw 2.
Any crossover?
And I'm sticking to it.
Any crossover?
Oh, you know what? I don't have my list. That's
come on, bro.
No, there will be no crossover.
Wow. Bold.
As far as what you and I saw this week.
Yeah.
No. I mean, we might have crossover with our summer preview.
But nothing on the Flick Fashions?
No, I don't think so, because I saw 2 obscure films. Let me turn my phone off there. I apologize.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
I was assigned a film.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get this out of the way.
Fitzcarraldo.
Fitzcarraldo.
Fuck to the yes.
Fitzcarraldo is a 1982 film written and directed by some young up-and-comer named Werner Herzog.
Werner.
Starring Klaus Kinski.
Klaus
Kinski. That's really the only name you need to know.
Him in the boat.
Claudia Cardinale is also in this. Oh, what a face. Hey, speaking of what a face, Klaus Kinski has one of the most...
Nosferatu.
Has one of the most... How do I describe it? He has a cinematic face. I can't think of a better way to describe it. Like, he just has that face where you're like, I do not see a lot of people who look like that. Like, you know, I don't know, a Channing Tatum. You're like, yeah, it's a handsome fellow. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like just like a movie star. Like, I probably see a half dozen of him, you know, on my way to work, you know, or in my day-to-day
life. I see what you're saying. Like, his face is not that...
Distinct,
yes.
He's a good-looking dude, you know, but Klaus Kinski has...
There's no mistake.
Has a face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he has an unmistakable face.
I met his daughter up in a camp setting. Forget why. Yeah, she's somebody. Yeah, yeah.
She's a model and an actress.
She was in a crawl space, I think. Yeah.
She was a model and an actress. I can't name a lot of her
movies. She was at camp. I don't think she was doing camp. I think I was up there for an event, like a money raiser or something. And I remember talking to her, and she's talking about her dad, Klaus. I'm like, oh, I know that guy. He's insane.
Klaus Kinski.
Yeah.
I was reading a little up on this film, and Klaus Kinski apparently... was difficult to work with?
Oh, legendarily difficult to work with.
And who was the originally was Jason Robards cast in the main role of Fitzcarraldo. Fitzcarraldo was the
title
role.
I believe that he found Werner Herzog difficult to work with.
Supposedly,
I think that's what happened there.
Perhaps. The story that I read is he contracted dysentery and left halfway. Like, he's already filmed like 40% of his scenes.
Werner had already worked with Klaus at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I believe at least once, if not more. But yeah, there's some legendary stories in that documentary that I was having a hard time recalling last week, Burden of Dreams.
I kind of want to see that.
It is so good,
Brian. Because
this
is from an era.
It's better than the movie.
It's a callback to an era, probably. This is from an era when certain films had to be big. I make an air quote. It's like big films, lots of extras, epic production, long, excruciating shots of a ship turning a corner until it's completely out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
Because you spent a lot of money in that ship. You got to get your money's worth. You got to put it on the screen. I would like to see a behind-the-scenes making of this movie. Like you said, The Burden of Dreams. I kind of want to see that now. This is not an easy watch.
No,
it does not go down smooth.
It's not that accessible.
Does not go down smooth. It is streaming on Amazon Prime. This is the story of...
But it is a marvel, and you're glad that it's in your head now, right? Don't
yes,
give me
it,
shit.
Yes,
it is
maybe.
A marvel,
yes, and, maybe.
And you're stoked
yes,
that
yes,
it's in your head forever.
I can't say that. Yes,
the story
maybe.
Is so simple.
The story is remarkably simple. Klaus Kinski plays a, he's kind of a zealot. Like this is turn of the century, like 1900, Africa. Or no, it's South America. Where is it? It's South,
South America, America. Brian. It's along the Amazon.
That's right, the Amazon. Thank you very much. And he is a sort of a entrepreneur type, and he loves opera. My God, does he love the opera.
He enjoys the phonograph.
And he has a dream to bring an opera house to the middle of the goddamn jungle.
It's totally a burden, accessible. That dream, though. It's a burden.
Yes, indeed it is. And he sort of, you know, fails at that. And then halfway through the film, he sort of gets the idea that, like, oh, all of these rubber plants are very, very valuable. They extract the nectar from these plants to make rubber, and there's a huge patch of them right here that no one can access. It's right here. It's in a part of the river that there's rapids that you can't get through on boat. You can't get through the other way. The only way is to go over this isthmus, this sort of land particle. But how do you get the massive amounts of rubber back from the rubber plants?
Rubber.
So needlessly elaborate, he decides to transport the boat across land.
Yes, over the mountain, over the hill.
Over a small mountain with the help of some exploited locals.
Yes, were actually exploited locals.
I know, true to form, they were actually exploited locals.
Like in real life, like in the movie.
And much like their effort, this film is laborious, much like dragging a ship over an isthmus.
Mm. It's Did you not enjoy the miniatures?
Miniatures. Pretty sweet. That was the one part that wasn't needlessly elaborate. Yeah. That was perfectly effective.
There were some rapids, and there were some small boats that were shot in said rapids, and it was quite obvious, small boats.
They were somewhat obvious.
Werner's attention to detail is lacking at times.
I'm glad this movie exists. Yes, and I think I'm going to get a lot out of Burden of Dreams if and when I actually see that.
Absolutely.
Because I think a lot went on in the shoot. Like, there are things that don't make a ton of sense, characters that don't feel like, oh, the fucking overdubbing is jarring. Mm. Oh, my God. Do you remember the overdubbing? It is every character. There must
There's a lot of noise out there on the Amazon,
there
Brian.
There must have been something wrong with the sound because every... And they're not overdubbed with, like, you know, American accents or British accents, Mid-Atlantic accents. They're, like, overdubbed by the actors. So it's just a weird, I don't know what happened. I'm dying
to
find out.
A lot of the time, too, what happens there is that they're... They're rolling audio on all of the... This might be a little bit geeky for people to listen to, but a lot of the time I thought it was ADR until I actually made a movie, and then I'm like, oh, I know what's going on here. You'll get a master shot, and you'll roll audio. And then you'll do like a different angle. Like, you'll flip it. You'll do the reverse, a lot of time you'll get four or five different angles from the same scene. Sometimes the audio doesn't work for like the good shot, like the shot of you.
But the reverse shot.
But then it sounds like you're talking away from the microphone and you weren't being mic'd for that. But that's what they have to use.
Gotcha.
And it's a perfect segue for me to slip into my movie, which I saw, which is called Family.
Brian. I have a lot more thoughts on Fitzcarraldo. I'm done, actually.
Family, Brian. I saw this in theaters. It is out now. It is directed and written by an actress named Laura Steinle. This is her directorial debut. It is starring one Taylor Schilling.
Family.
And Kate McKinnon. I guess those are the two big names. Brian Tyree Henry is also in this.
Family.
He is he's got a smaller part as a karate instructor. This movie is a scant, Brian. Scant. Hour and 25 minutes, 85 minutes, Bri.
I'm trying to look it up right now.
Yeah, don't. Leave it at that. So, Taylor Schilling, you might know her from Orange is the New Black, or as Bill calls it, Clam Oz.
Okay.
She's like a hardworking exec, CEO, right? And she's got no social life. Brian, listen to me. Look at me. Focus. She's got no social life. She has no friends. She has no relationships. She's a bitch. Everyone hates her at work. It starts off where she's in the work setting and she's talking, the comedy too. It's played for comedy. And she's talking to this woman who's pregnant in her office. And she's explaining to her essentially like her career is now over. And she's actually talking to somebody else. And the woman who's pregnant now overhears her. And she's saying, yeah, well, she chose to have a baby. So her career's over. She's never coming back. And that's that. And she's not well liked in the office setting. Okay. Long story short, through a series of unfortunate events, she finds herself having to babysit her 12-year-old niece. You know that old tired story? We've all heard it. We've all seen it. Where like the old curmudgeon, usually an alcoholic, has to like be around a young kid. And they hate being around the young kid.
Sure.
How many times have we seen that, right?
Well, it's Bad News Bears.
That's a good example. A lot of the time, it's Bill Murray.
It was W.C. Fields' whole act.
So... That's this, except it's Taylor Schilling. She's also, she drinks a lot of wine, and she finds herself in a situation where she has to babysit her brother's kid, 12-year-old, awkward, unfortunate little
Uncle Buck.
Rotund woman, girl, She has to watch her for a full week. And the little girl is great. She is unfortunate looking, as I said. What is her name? I guess it's not that important. What's her name? Where is she?
Family movie is difficult to Google because a lot of things come up that aren't
family. I don't even know what her name is.
Like best family movies.
Yeah, I know. It's not the greatest title. But here's why it's called family. She's not a good aunt, as I've already established. At one point, she takes her niece to a gas station, a gas and sip, to get some snacks. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit... I told the whole story on the After Disaster last night. I pretty much did this review on the After Disaster, okay. So I feel like I'm repeating myself, and I hate that. So I'm trying to find different angles, but I'm using the same fucking angles, Brian. What can you do?
Please recognize this is a unique audience.
You'll understand that why I told this story on the After Disaster. I talked about this movie on the After Disaster once I get to this point. So she drops off her... She doesn't drop off. She's getting gas, and her little unfortunate niece goes in to get some snacks because she really likes her snacks. She's a heavyset lass, right? And then Taylor Schilling gets a phone call. She realizes that she's fucked up on a project at work, and not thinking about anyone other than herself, she forgets that her niece is inside. So she takes off, and her niece is inside for quite some time, we're led to believe, where she meets a friend, and that friend's name is Baby Joker. And Baby Joker is fucking sweet. Baby Joker is like a 15-year-old, 14-year-old kid. And he's got a long, long braided pony, like a rat tail. You know the rat tail?
Yeah, yeah.
He's played by Fabrizio Zachary Guido. And we might know him from Welcome to the Family. I've seen him before. Yeah, he was in World War Z. He's got great style, this kid.
Okay.
And turns out he's a juggalo.
Oh, now we're talking.
Juggalo. That's where the name family. Family. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Insane Clown Posse is an insane band. With insane fans that the FBI considers a gang. They're called Juggalos. There's a great 20-minute documentary called American Juggalo that you can watch on YouTube right now. I suggest you stop listening to this immediately. Push pause on this. Go watch American Juggalo. 20-minute glorious documentary on the Juggalo lifestyle. Come back and listen to the rest of the show. Lo and behold, her niece also wants to be a juggalo now because she doesn't fit in anywhere, and that's what juggalo's lifestyle is all about. It's all the freaks who don't fit in, and they all fit in here.
Wow.
And one thing leads to another, and the next thing you know, she's actually at the gathering. And that's a big semi-annual event. I think it happens every 2-3 years where like all the juggalos descend on a poor, unbeknownst town, and they take it over. And so they shoot. A lot of this stuff does take place at the gathering at the end of the movie, the climax of the movie. It's kind of got that same kind of...
It's a hard left turn.
Yeah, but some of the audio is so...
No, wait, did you go to the gathering or did you go to a
concert? I just went to a concert. Okay. Mike Carano and I...
Did you identify with Infiltrated. The experience?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's a bunch of juggalos in a small condensed... Mm-hmm. We just went to a very safe one in the Gaslamp District in San Diego, and I believe it was at the... House of Blues, Brian. So we took the puss
very
route,
corporate,
but
corporate.
we did regale ourselves in the juggalo face makeup.
And you were some of the few who were doing that.
Fit in, yes. And we almost got beat up before we even got to the venue because a juggalo walked by us, saw the face paint, realized we're on the way to the show, and he gave us a woo woo, and we did not respond.
Oh no!
And then he stopped in his tracks. He turned around and he said, "I said woo woo." I swear to God, this happened. Carano can corroborate. And then we're like, "Oh, woo woo woo." But yeah, so a fun movie. I enjoy the idea of them making like a mainstream, trying to make a mainstream, even though it's an independent movie, with the juggalos at the climax there. It just did that weird thing where like they used the band, they used Violent J and Shaggy. Both are guys that I really like, those guys. They used to be on Loveline all the time. Some of my favorite guests ever on Loveline. But the movie's a solid like B. It's a 3.5. It's a little better than average.
Right.
But keep it on your radar, especially if you know about the juggalo. There's a lot of like probably 6 or 7 times I laughed out loud. Just inappropriate fun. It's an R-rated comedy. It just feels a little made for HBO. And some of the audio that we were talking about that led me into this discussion was just piss poor, Brian. Really distractingly bad. Kate McKinnon plays the funny Kate McKinnon neighbor who's like concerned about Taylor Shannon leaving the garage door open because the kids in the neighborhood. She's like the overbearing, mom in the neighborhood.
Protective. Yeah, yeah.
So that's that. 85 minutes. If it was streaming right now, I'd say give it a shot. Give it a shot. What I don't like about it is it opens up with her at the gathering, running around, getting hit in the head with a giant 2-liter bottle of Faygo, and And then it cuts to her, like, you know, 7 days earlier. And I don't, it didn't need that. I would have preferred to let the gathering happen.
I was going to say, that feels like a nice organic sort of reveal.
Plus, we never see her get hit in the head with the Faygo.
Like, oh, never pays off?
No, never. No. Doesn't even pay that part off. Does not pay that part off.
Faygo.
But, you know, I've seen much worse comedies. I don't know if that's a ringing endorsement.
It's a ringing endorsement.
But I've seen much, much worse comedies. Yeah. All right.
I saw a film.
Family. Family. Oh, and the name Family. When a movie's over, this is a bad decision I've made. I think I should have just broke. But I have not eaten yet today, and I can't eat for another hour, and I probably should have just eaten.
I was gonna say.
But I'm like on my little regiment, right?
Are you hungry? I got food.
I'm starving, Brian.
I got food in my car.
And I can't think quite straight. Why is it in your car?
Because where else would it be?
However, I'm gonna pull through. So at the end of each show, and Carano and I witness this, once Violent J and Shaggy, the two members of Insane Clown Posse, are done spraying the audience with Tofago and whatever else they can get their hands on, they say, thank you very much. San Diego was what we heard because we were in San Diego. And then they walk off. And then lights come up. And usually, you've been to concerts. We all have been to concerts. You stream out.
Make towards the exit.
Not the Juggalos. No, no. What they do is they go up on stage, and they all put their arms around each other, and they start jumping in unison, chanting, family. And that goes on for about 10, 15 minutes. Family.
Family. Film.
Family. No, in real life. This is what we witnessed, yes. And everyone's just sticky with fucking Faygo.
Jesus.
It's an experience.
Well, it's funny. It actually kind of transitions into my next film. Number 5, Anderson, this year on my Sundance preview. I think it was on your Sundance preview, too. Have you not seen
Hail Satan? No.
Hail Satan.
Sweet.
Do I save this? Do I save this for next week? Are you going to see?
I really want to see it. It's not playing at a theater that I find acceptable.
It's playing up the street from my house.
I know it is.
Come on, let's go see.
But it's not playing up the street from my house, you see, Brian.
How much do you want to talk about Hail
Satan? Why don't you keep it? Now I have to see it. This is good.
All right, guys.
Is it worth seeing?
It is absolutely worth seeing.
Because I heard some very mixed reviews.
No. It is very good.
Oh, okay. I'm in.
96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think maybe did you talk to people who gave you mixed reviews or did you read mixed reviews? All right, 96% Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know if maybe it was mixed between good and great.
Oh, no. I talked to Listener X. He saw it at Sundance.
Oh, really?
Not a fan.
I liked it a lot, but maybe he was expecting something else.
Pretty sure it was Listener X that told me that.
I liked it quite a bit. It is about, I'll just set the table and we can talk about it later. It's about the Satanic Temple, which is an organization that is less about worship and more about like equal representation.
Using it as a political vehicle.
Yes, it's very political.
Right?
A lot of satire, satirization. Mm. It reminded me of the Juggalos in the sense that these are people who don't really, they're sort of self-described outcasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a lot of a very punk ethos. You'll like them. A lot of tattoos, a lot of, you know, very, very punk rock. And they don't want to belong to an organization, but they also hate organizations. So this group comes together to sort of like combat like the ultimate organizations, your mm-hmm. religion, Christianity.
Let's save it.
Yeah, I'm setting the table. Mm. You'll find them to be very smart and thoughtful. And Hail Satan. We'll talk about that next week.
I'd have to imagine that they're agnostic.
No.
Any Christians in there? Any Jews?
There's one great character who he's in Little Rock. They have chapters, right? They have chapters all over the country. And this guy describes himself. He said at one point he was very religious. He would even describe himself as a zealot. He was very Christian. And he's since sort of turned the corner. You think there might be some things. You can tell there might be some things going on.
All right. What else you see? Well, thank you for saving that one for me.
Skip that one. God, I've been holding on to this one for a couple of weeks. I want to assign it to you, but now it's actually like kind of leaving theaters a little bit. It's going to be playing. That's why I asked you. The theater that's up by you that I asked you about?
I don't know what you're talking about. You asked me how close I live to a certain town, and then
Westlake.
I told you.
Westlake.
I told you I was like 20, 25 minutes away.
Do you go to the Westlake Theater?
When I was a kid,
the AMC
I used to go
in Westlake, wherever it is?
Oh, no. I don't even know there is an AMC in Westlake. What?
Because this film I really want you to see,
uh-huh.
and it's playing there.
What is it? Is that the only place it's playing? The Westlake Twin?
No. I forget. I'll look it up. But it's really good, and I want to tell everyone about it, because if it's playing near you, please see it before it leaves theaters.
Tell me what this movie is, Brian.
Amazing Grace.
It's playing down the street from my house. I can ride my bike down 3 minutes.
Really?
So I was going to see it, and I'm like, you know what? Why would I go out and see a music fucking documentary when I'm going to get assigned this fucking documentary? Eventually, anyways, so... I went and saw Family instead.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because you have a limited repertoire of bits, and one of them is that I love to assign music.
It's not a bit; it's a fact.
Do you know the last time I assigned you a music documentary? It's been multiple years.
I don't think it's been multiple years. It has not been multiple years.
It was Charles Bradley, the soul of America.
I can't even remember what that
is. Is that the black guy who, the older guy who became a star sort of later in life? He opened for like Darlene Love or something.
The Glenn fucking, the guy that lost his mind.
I don't really consider that a music documentary, but
it absolutely is. You believe her. Fucker, believer.
That's not a music documentary.
It's absolutely
it's about the Mormon temple.
It's about him getting his message out there through his music.
Amazing Grace.
How many shots of concerts are there? And then entire documentary is leading up to this giant concert
there's
that he's putting on.
B-roll.
It's a music doc.
Amazing Grace is a documentary in theaters now. It's a music documentary.
I saw the trailer for this. Gave me chills.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. The director is unclear. Sidney Pollack. Question mark.
That's a neat trick when you've been dead for 15 years.
The documentary is great and the story is fascinating. So what happened was, guys, if you don't know Amazing Grace, what it is
it's a documentary about Aretha Franklin.
Recorded a gospel album in January of 72. Mm. And as she was a pretty big star at that time, so as part of the deal, who was it here? Is it Warner Brothers? Whoever it was. I don't know. I written down somewhere.
RKO.
Somebody big. Warner Brothers. There you go. Warner Brothers commissioned a film to be made of the making of the album. And she recorded the album in a church, in New Bethel Baptist Church in Watts, here in Los Angeles. And they commissioned Sidney Pollack, who obviously they worked with before and was a big name at the time, to go and make a film about this, to document it, make a film. But Sidney Pollack had never done like a live, you know, music thing before, so he didn't sync the sound correctly, and the footage was kind of the footage and the audio didn't match, and he got frustrated, and then it took too long. The album came out and the film wasn't ready, so they shelved it for years, and finally it's come out as a documentary. Amazing Grace is kind of a de facto, I don't know what to call it, like a concert documentary. It's Aretha Franklin at the height of her powers, 1972, singing, put on this earth to sing gospel music like this in a church, captured on film, remastered sound. It is a beautiful cinematic experience. I highly recommend it. I think it was something like 80 minutes. Like, it's pretty short. She is doing, this is essentially the album performed live as it was recorded. Mick Jagger and Charlie Watts from Rolling Stones are there, like rocking out in the back of the church. Like it's a wild, wild, there's some rehearsal footage from the night before and the second night when the actual concert is. It's amazing. I really would like you to see this. It's going to warm you the cockles of that cold, cold heart of yours. It really will.
All right. I'll see it.
Yeah. She sued to like prevent the release. Like Elliot, who the fuck is Elliot? So many notes here. Anyway.
Can't over notes. You can't do too many notes. You can do too many notes, I should say. Notes.
So anyway, they were going to release it as a documentary in 2011, but Aretha Franklin sued and was like, no, you can't release it. And they're like, well, it's really flattering to you. It makes you look absolutely amazing. And she's like, nope. And they tried to do it again in 2015. She sued. And they tried to do it again at Telluride. They sued. Aretha Franklin, like a state sued. But like then she died like this year or last year. And then finally they somehow got around it and they released it in New York November 2018. There you go. So finally, 46 years after the original concert, it debuted.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. It's a great story. It's a really good documentary. Guys, it's super short and you're essentially going to watch one of the greatest singers of the last century do what she does best. You could do a lot worse with your dime, a lot worse.
And you know what? It's going to be streaming pretty soon because I don't think this has wide release. I think it's playing in a few select theaters here and there. So
yeah, you can wait for this to stream, I suppose. I love being in the theater and seeing it. It was a very immersive experience. But if you can't get out to it, don't worry. Put it on your queue.
All right. I saw a film, also a very short film. That's kind of the theme here.
Fitzcarraldo.
That's true.
2.5 hours.
I saw a film I've been meaning to watch for quite some time, Brian. Back in 1989.
Batman?
In Montreal, there was a school shooting before school shootings were kind of a thing.
Before they were cool?
It was called a Polytechnique. Shooting or massacre or the Montreal massacre.
Shit.
And Denis Villeneuve, He took it upon himself, Denis Villeneuve.
Is it really?
It's Denis Villeneuve.
Shit.
He took it upon himself to make a movie about it back in 2009. This was a first movie he had made in 7 years. Now, 9 years, actually. He took 9 years off because he was not pleased with the two previous films that he had made before Polytechnique. Sure. And he took nine years off. And it must be nice, huh? And just became a stay-at-home dad. Just kind of kick his feet up and told his son what to do, or daughter. I don't know what he had, or if he had multiple. But he took 9 years off. The guy's not old either. I mean, he's been making movies since he was young. But Polytechnique was what he made before Incendies. Of course, he's moved on to make Enemy, which some people enjoy. Prisoners, 2049. I should say Blade Runner 2049, as well as Arrival
and Sicario.
And Sicario, sure. And he's got Cleopatra on the horizon as well. This is all off the top of my head.
Dune.
And Dune is going to be out here soon. So now he's making all of his movies that he grew up loving, obviously, and he's reinventing them, which is what a lot of directors do when they can do whatever they want when they're successful. Now, back to Polytechnique. This is an hour and 17 minutes, Brian.
Scant.
Oh, it's beyond scant. 77 minutes, Brian. Holy shit. It's barely a movie. Back in the day, like pretentious Anderson wouldn't have even considered this a feature film. You got to be at least 90 minutes. Fucking idiot.
That's right.
So Polytechnique is shot in black and white. Don't let that scare you. It's streaming on Amazon Prime, I should say. Don't let that scare you. Oh, I don't know why that was scary. Let this scare you a little bit. It's dark, like literally dark because it's black and white. However, it's beautiful black and white. I mean, the man is an artist. There's no denying that this is a Denis Villeneuve film with a number of the shots. One of my favorite shots I've seen in recent memory is at the end of the film, and it's an upside down shot. It's just, there's artists out there. This guy's one of them. There's no denying that. And all the shit that I was going on about with Blade Runner 2049, wondering, you know, how much of him was that the design. After seeing Polytechnique, I'm like, that was him. That was
okay.
Pretty much all him. There's we've all seen the fluorescent bulbs in I wasn't even going to talk about this, but I have to. In the any government building or like a school, right? Polytechnique was a school for like, help me out here. What's it called? Like a skill, like a trade school.
Okay, like a polytechnical.
For engineering.
Yeah, like a polytechnical school.
Exactly, so it's just lockers and, you know, like, draft. He took a camera, put it upside down, crazy fucker that he is, and put it on some kind of tracks, or I don't even know how, you know, this is 2009, so probably do it with a drone nowadays. And then he just kind of scanned the ceiling, just moving forward, and it was like one of those, like, horrible lights after another, almost like a runway. It just screamed, like, I'm going to make Blade Runner 2049 one day, and it's going to look beautiful.
Yeah.
So it follows around this school shooter, this would-be shooter, who there's been a lot of speculation. It makes you, after you watch this film, it makes you want to go back and actually read about the actual massacre, which I did. And he was a feminist, they think, and then there's others that suggest that it had very little to do with it. However, his suicide note was all about how he hated feminists. He's one of these incels, what they call them.
He hated feminists.
What they call incels these days, because he could never find a relationship, so he hates all women because, as he put it, they ruined his life. And what Denis Villeneuve did with this is he followed the actual
incels
footsteps.
Involuntarily celibate?
Yeah, involuntarily, yeah, thank you. And he follows this guy's actions, and there are shades of Elephant, of course, as you'd imagine, and he skips around the timeline quite a bit, much like Elephant. And we are with the shooter at times, and then we skip away and we go to one of the victims and we see what they were doing a little bit before in the day and how their life ended up after the shooting. And at times it's riveting, at other times it's like he's stretching this out to make it an hour and 17 minutes because he's looking for things. And there's like a lot of there's a scene where a woman's getting dressed, putting on her nylons, and it goes on for like 2 minutes. It's like, that's fat, cut that, don't need that.
Could have been an hour and 10.
It could have been an hour. Because he just wanted to kind of get in the space, I guess, of that horrific event. Apparently, he screened it for the victims' families before he decided to release it to the public and to make sure that he got their blessing, which is a ballsy move.
Say.
What if one of them says no?
No thanks.
Yeah, I don't know if he just shelves it. I don't think he does. I don't know. But definitely worth checking
maybe
out.
Maybe one of them did say no. Maybe he just said, hey, I screened it for the families.
No, he said that what I read was he got their blessing before he released it. But I've been meaning to get to this one for quite some time. It's a shame that I haven't gotten to it until now.
Where does one see Polytechnique?
You see it on Amazon Prime. It's streaming if you're a Prime member. Polytechnique. And the technique and the execution of this one, for the most part, you can see kind of a blossoming genius, which I always like to see that. This is better than like a lot of the early Kubrick stuff. It's better than Killer's Kiss. Wow. It's way better than Fear and Desire. Like, I think this is his fourth feature film. I still have not seen all of his movies, but I don't even know if I want to go back and see the ones that he made before this, because he's publicly said that he didn't like them. He was not happy with them. Sure. I need to see him. He's one of the best filmmakers working today. Unfortunately, he's all caught up with his remake shit, which we see happen all the time. We saw it happen with Tim Burton over there. We saw Peter Jackson. They can make whatever they want, and they want to make remakes. Yeah. It's like, how about you guys continue doing what got you here?
Exactly. You keep pushing forward.
I don't want to see back. Cleopatra. Watch Cleopatra is like my favorite movie in a couple years.
Actually, that one I don't mind, because the Cleopatra of the Elizabeth Taylor days is like, A, not very good, and B, who the fuck has seen that movie? Have you seen that movie?
Cleopatra, yeah. My sister was obsessed with it. Yeah,
it's a bad example.
Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of bad movies from way back when, but what more do I want to see about Polytechnic? There's moments where like you're on the edge of your seat, like going, fuck, is he going to pull the trigger right now? Yeah. And like, it's not graphic in the sense that like you see, it's nothing like dragged across concrete. Like you don't see actual bullets penetrating, but there's quite a bit of black and white blood. Don't let the black and white scare you, because it's beautiful. And the way that he shoots it, you hear beautiful black and white all the time. Oh, it's beautiful. This one really works, because it's a bleak story and it lends itself to the a lot of directors who have shot on black and white, it just kind of makes it that much blah, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
This one, I really appreciated the black and white. It would have been drab and colorless anyways, because it was just in a school, you know, where, you know, people are just kind of dressed for school. So it wasn't like in nightclubs or anything, you know, it was just... All right, a lot of smoking, 1989.
Polytechnique.
Yeah, I don't recommend it as quite as high as Incendies, but I recommend it.
Coming up next, we will discuss the films we're looking forward to the most this summer in the big summer preview. You know it or you don't. I'm staring at my review. I got you on my mind. I'm driving down the street. I want to give thanks to the person, whoever it was, who bought 4 10x10 foot easy pop-up canopy tents on AndersonandBryan.com's click-through banner for Amazon. That was a big spend, and they were not cheap, and they looked like pretty heavy-duty to me. So
somebody's going camping.
Yeah, or they're setting up, more likely, I think they're setting up like a farmer's market type thing. Mm-hmm. Like there's 4 pop-up tents, you know what I mean? Or it could be just setting up like a beach day kind of thing. I don't know, maybe for a birthday?
Well, thanks for clicking through.
Either way, that's very cool. Thanks for thinking of us. And everyone, thanks for thinking of us for your click-through items. Everything you need on Amazon, just click through. Things like an Amazon e-gift card for $500. Happy birthday balloons was the theme. Seiko Men's Japanese automatic watch with stainless steel strap. Halo Bassinet Swivel Sleeper, Premier Series Bassinet. LG 29-inch ultra-wide IPS monitor was purchased, as well as a Vivo Black Deluxe height-adjustable standing desk. Elk LCD low-profile keypad. Elk Ethernet interface was also purchased.
Elk.
Brother. Wireless all-in-one color printer, and to go along with that, someone got some Brother Genuine Super High-Yield Toner cartridges.
Brother.
Kawai. Mighty air purifier with true HEPA and eco mode. Similac Alimentum. That sounds like something Wolverine would use. Similac Alimentum hypoallergenic baby formula. Hike Vision. I don't know what that is in these products.
It's okay, bro.
HIK. Hike Vision. IP camera. Sort of like it's a camera, of course, but it's like a security camera. Eureka Power Speed Lightweight Bagless Upright Vacuum Cleaner.
Right, as opposed to a downright?
Well, there's like the kind that you take the nozzle off.
Like back in the 50s. Yeah.
Exactly. This is cool. This is actually I would like. The Great Northern Popcorn Old Fashioned Movie Theater Style Popcorn Popper. You wheel that thing into your living room.
You need to have space somewhere.
I know, it's got to exist somewhere. Well, the kids are going to do it too.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Start like using it as like a cart, like a chariot.
You start running around the house. That's right, running into each other. Ben Hur style. Ring Alarm home security system with optional 24/7 professional monitoring. Ring Wi-Fi enabled video doorbell. Both were purchased. Amazon Basics mid-back block mesh chair. Samsung Memory 512 gig SD card. J.A. Henkel's international statement. Oh,
you're gonna get it.
Seven-piece self-sharpening block set. So that's a nice block.
I like the self-sharpening. I've always wanted. You pull it out every time you pull it out.
Scotch Pro thermal laminator golf piece starter kit and sports sensors swing speed radar, possibly for golf, possibly for baseball. Thanks for looking through. Now let's hear about some movies that were purchased this week.
So proud of himself. Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time I spoke to you. Oh, there's a shit ton. Shaun of the Dead was clicked through.
Actually, there's a lot of movies.
Shaun of the Dead, somebody clicked through with Shaun of the Dead, The Incredible Hulk, Surfwise, Babe, Little Children.
Fuck yes, Little Children.
Ryan, I undersold that movie.
I bust the shoulder real well.
Once was clicked through, once. Sexy Beast, Boys in the Hood, in honor of poor Mr. John Singleton. Not doing so
well. Oh, no, that's right.
Four Lions, Armageddon, Buffalo 66, Fuck the Yes, Borat, Cultural Learnings of American Make Benefit, Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan, Spider-Man, Into the Universe, Into the Spider-Verse, Cars, The Last of the Mohicans, Director's Definitive Cut, Caligula, holy shit, Unforgiven, Outlaw Jesse Wales, Sergio Leone's Anthology, I Am Chris Farley, and The Dark Knight Trilogy was clicked through. Thank you so much also for having the balls to click through and buy American Beauty. I don't know if you're thinking that might be a collector's edition one day. It's a weird time to be buying American Beauty, but it's still a beautiful, fantastic, wonderful movie. Love that American Beauty. Thanks for clicking through, guys.
Back to the show. Yeah. Welcome back. Let's talk about some films. We're excited to see this summer. Anderson, I'm going to go ahead and say we're not going to have a ton of crossover. No, we're going to have a couple. Maybe.
I'd imagine there's a couple, yeah. In years past, I've been able to...
List.
Split my list. Oh, yeah, we didn't do that during the break.
I'm doing it right now.
Why are we the Lord? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hit pause.
No.
All right, unpause. I don't know why you had to, like, protest when I said we're going to pause it.
Because I have it right here.
Because everyone heard you going, no!
All right.
Here we go.
My list from last year, there's a lot, I'm looking at last summer. It was black hole of summer films. Number five for me was Sicario, Day of the Soldado. It's okay. It's all right. Number four, much like I always do, didn't even see Uncle Drew. Still have not seen Uncle Drew. Number three, Solo. Ugh. Number two, Incredibles 2. And number one, Deadpool 2. All right, good movie. Not what I'm hoping it would be. Not worthy of number one. And even my also-rans, Jesus Christ. Didn't see Tag. Didn't see Hotel Artemis. Good Lord.
I saw Artemis. You missed very little.
Or I'm not planning on seeing it.
Hey, go ahead.
I have a list from years past, but...
No, we're not doing that, Brian. We're not doing that. My list is horrific. You'd think that I just started doing this or something. I did not see the majority of the movies on my top my top 10 most anticipated.
You had 10.
Number 10, start strong last year. Won't You Be My Neighbor? Was my number 10. Ended up being my favorite film of 2018. And I barely even had it on my list. Incredibles 2 was on there. You know what I also did, though? I didn't rank them. I did them by dates that they're coming out. So that's why Won't You Be My Neighbor came out in June. And then 8th Grade came out in July, so that's how I did it. Don't worry, you won't get far on foot. Took forever to see that, but I finally saw it and was left with meh in my head. Generation Wealth, you forced me to see that one. I thought it was it wasn't that good. It was aimless.
It was above average.
It was by the same lady that did Queen of Versailles.
That's right.
It did not have quite the pull, nearly the pull of Queen of Versailles. Also, number five was The Meg. Never saw The Meg. Number four was Alpha. It was a missed opportunity. I liked Alpha, but did not love Alpha. Number three, never saw it. The Happy Time Murders, never saw it. The critics got in my ear before I could go see it. Number two, never saw it. Captive State, never saw Captive State with John Goodman. Rupert Wyatt, director of Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Still not sure
never,
what that is.
Never saw it. I think it got pushed, actually. Maybe not, but that was supposed to come out last August. And then my number one, just because it was the latest in the summer, was The Little Strangers. Starring Domhnall Gleeson, directed by Lenny Abramson, director of Room and Frank. And that was one of the worst movies I've seen. Us and The Little Stranger are my two least favorite movies of the last 2 years, I'd say. I hate them both so much.
Promising directors, too.
Little Stranger. Little Stranger. Horrible. Horrible, yeah. Brian. Us and Little Stranger. I just wanted the fucking credits. I never had yearned to see names on a screen. Not since Lincoln had I been just saying, please show me some fucking names on a screen. Let me out of here.
I'm looking back. I think the worst year of my... Wow, this is a graveyard.
Oh, you are going back, Brian. Well,
I'll just go back to 2016 because... that was the year in my number one was Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. Didn't get better after that. Popstar actually was pretty good. So Popstar was number two.
Popstar's great.
Snowden, did not see. Okay. Still don't think I'll see it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Number four, The Neon Demon.
Snowden
never saw.
Won best documentary.
Yeah.
Ah,
that was season four. This is the drama. Like, right, Oliver Stone.
Right.
The Neon Demon,
well.
Did not see.
And it was some moments. Neon Demon.
Elstree 1976.
Hey, why am I indulging you? You did this list last year when we did Summer Preview. We're not going to go through the annals of your fucking lists, Brian.
2011?
No. Here we go. What's your number five? I wisely only stuck with five this year. I'm only doing five, which I think is a smart decision. Smart decision.
I really can't see a scenario in which I'm going to say it and I'm going to feel foolish by the end of the summer. I will see all five of these films. Usually there's one or two I don't even get around to seeing.
Oh, yeah. There's no way that I'm not seeing all five of these.
Yeah, I'm going to see all five of these. I'm actually legit excited.
These are all big movies, too.
Yeah, mine are not.
All right. Number five for you. My number one's a little bit of an outlier, so why don't I go last?
I don't like that at all. Number five.
You're saying no crossover, huh?
No. I'm saying there will be crossover, but limited. I'd say maybe one, maybe two. Two at the most. One and a half is the over-under.
Go ahead.
Number five. Yeah. I have two on here I guarantee will not make your list. Number five is one of them. I can't believe I'm saying this. I never thought I'd get to this point in my life, but Anderson, kind of excited for an Avengers movie.
Oh, you know what? You're wrong.
I'm kind of excited for an Avengers movie.
Okay, this happens every fucking year.
Avengers Endgame in theaters.
Listen to me.
Probably the day you're listening to this.
Yes. Is that summer? Negative.
It's kicked off the summer season.
It does not, Brian. It does. Marvel has a lot of power, but they don't change the fucking seasons. Now, I'm not being crazy like I used to be back in the old days where, like, you know, summer doesn't begin until June 22nd. However, summer doesn't officially kick off as everyone can agree until Memorial Day. End of May.
See, that's funny because I remember when like they always launched the newest Spider-Man movie on May 5th.
They keep doing it earlier and earlier. You know why? Because they're greedy, grubbing fucks. Creeping. So because they're greedy and they want, you know, they want to extend summer as far as the box office is concerned, we gotta change the definition of what summer is.
Yeah.
I guess so. The summer season starts when Avengers hits the theaters.
They do not. That's like saying Christmas season starts when Star Wars comes out and they get to just change when Saint Nick comes around. That's not...
Christmas season would start when the Harry Potter movies.
Well, you're wrong. So you don't have one. You only have four.
Avengers Endgame is in theaters on April 26th. Probably if you're listening to this...
Summer. Summer, April.
That's right. Directed by the Russo brothers is the 22nd film, Anderson, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This will inspire our Patreon topic this month, which is top five Marvel movies.
True. Yes, Marvel we're doing films. That. And then we're going to have Giovanni, who is he's a lover of many things. He's a very passionate man about many things, mm-hmm. one of which probably the top of the list, maybe right below the Harry Man. I can't tell. Does he like Marvel more than Harry Man?
Let's find out.
Harry Man more than Marvel.
We'll get to ask him.
We're going to have him on towards the end of the episode, and he's going to explain to us why our lists are wrong, and that'll be fun. Also, we're going to try and get him on this episode so he can do the little the gambling.
Live.
Yeah, yeah. Also, for those of you who are, we're not doing a break. We're going straight through because we're hard to work with and we don't do ads good for company that we work with. So we're not doing an ad this week. But I want to let you know, though, if you are a Patreon member, what's going on. I finally digitized all of the old CDs, Brian, that I got from the 97.1 days. I've got about 30 to 40 hours of I haven't heard it since I did it stuff.
Okay.
That's going up from like 2007, 2008.
Please don't.
And I just got to build them now. And then once I have all the ducks in a row, Brian, probably. Good.
These are unofficial episodes.
Probably
this
in about
not
a week.
This is not canon.
I listen to a couple of them, like feel-good movies, and they're fun. They're fun.
This is not
canon. I'm very hard to deal with, but it's fun.
That is true.
So I would be... And then I love one of our Patreon listeners. He in the comment section, he said, please don't put all of them out at once because I binge them and I would like to enjoy them at a more... measured pace. It's like,
all right,
I don't know what to tell you. I got to do them as much as I can.
You got to be in charge of your own
because
supply.
I'm going to be putting 600 different sound
your
files up there, like I said. And once I start rolling, I'm going to do like 40 a day.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, and everything's going to be in order by the time I'm done with it. It's going to be polished and slick and chronological and beautiful. Beautiful.
Look
all right.
At you.
Here we go.
I will say that if someone tweeted me, and I have to verify this, But by the way, the sniff tracks that is up now, Clockwork Orange. One of the things we like to do is more sniff tracks. Someone just alerted me that Just Friends is coming to Netflix next month.
Terrible idea.
That's a great idea.
Awful idea.
Come on, let's do it.
I don't know if I can make it to the fucking dancing scene, Brian.
It's 10 minutes into the movie.
Number five for me. This is a big one. This is a huge one. And I got to tell you, I'm not that pumped. And I'm actually a little surprised it's even on my list. I could have easily kicked it right off the fucking list. Flung it off the list. Once upon a time in Hollywood. This is, I'm assuming on your list, Brian, probably towards the top. This is Tarantino's latest effort to repurpose the 70s for his own amusement and for all of the sycophants that love his shit. All the
you
fucking
think,
zooms.
You think people enjoy his shit as our sycophants?
Yeah.
How are they sycophantic if they'll never meet?
Well, it's sycophantic in the sense that he can do no wrong.
Oh, they're fanboys.
Yeah, fanboys, yeah, okay. Yes. I don't like the zoom, which is another reason, one of the drawbacks for that movie Family that I talked about the Juggalo. Mm. She used the zoom three or four different times, and it's jarring, Brian.
Family.
The zoom is gone. Family. We took the zoom out of movies a long time ago, and it's a good thing. Don't bring them back, Tarantino. Please don't bring them back. This is all about stuntmen and Hollywood and the glory days, the golden era of cinema, as many people call it, including Tarantino. It looks very Boogie Nights-esque. That's where zooms do work, because Boogie Nights... Well, because I'm a sycophant for PTA. Right. You can do no wrong.
They'll say that actually is like artfully done.
I don't know if he really did that many zooms. I can't even think of any. But if there were in there. But you know, like the
he did like in the interstitials where like he did like the stuff from the 70s, like they're like Johnny Wadd or all that stuff, whatever it was.
Yeah,
Johnny
that was.
Wadd, but like whatever his character was.
Yeah, where
was.
They're on the rooftops and whatnot. Yeah,
that's right.
And the freeze frames and says the names. It was very, that was very Spike Jones.
That's right.
Didn't it feel like Sabotage?
Yeah.
Which Sabotage was making fun of that. It was paying homage or...
Sure.
Anyways, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I'm assuming most of us have seen the trailer and we know what we're getting into. People just losing their shit when DiCaprio is crying after the little girl says that it was the best acting she's ever seen, and he starts crying because he's so proud of himself. Mm. People in the theater just like, they thought that was the funniest thing they'd ever seen. Like, I think a guy hurt himself laughing so hard. It's like, all right, guys, let's settle the fuck down. Let's settle the fuck down.
That's number five.
Do I have to say anything about this one?
That's Quentin Tarantino, written and directed. There's a shitload of people in it.
Yeah, there's a shitload. This one could be fun because I don't think it's going to... I'm tired of the shoot-ups, you know what I mean, with Tarantino? All the bullets flying. This one could be fun just because it's going to be dialogue heavy, obviously. And
it involves people who are involved in the Manson murders, so there could be plenty of blood.
Yes. Margot Robbie, Timothy Oliphant, or as my wife calls him, the hot guy from Deadwood. Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt... Dakota Fanning, Al Pacino, Kurt Russell, Luke Perry. Ooh.
Last time
we see the Luke, probably. James Marsden. I like that James Marsden.
Is it
wrong that I'm not supposed to? Am I not supposed to like him?
I like James Marsden.
Emil Hirsch, Tim Roth. All right. That'll do. You get it. A lot of people are in it. How long is this fucker?
Oh, I'm sure it's very long. It's a Tarantino movie.
Doesn't say. It's probably not cut yet.
It should be a scant.
It's probably not
minutes.
Finished yet.
Scant 80 minutes.
A faded television actor and a stunt double strive to achieve fame and success in the film industry during the final years of Hollywood's golden era in 1969. So I was wrong. It's 69. I always include a lot of films from the 70s as part of the golden era. So I don't know if that's me being wrong or if he's just reinventing timelines there.
That era that you love so much in the 70s is not considered Hollywood's golden era, but it is a great era for filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always hear that Scorsese is part of the golden era, and most of his films that we know are from his early works.
I'm only telling you what's considered Hollywood's.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood comes out July 26th. Enough out of you, Brian.
Number four for me, you'll be so happy to know, Anderson. Mine, number four, is released on Memorial Day weekend, and thus it counts as a summer movie. It is the debut directorial effort from Olivia Wilde.
Oh, yes.
Booksmart. Booksmart. Starring two actresses you may not know the names of right away, Caitlin Dever and Bernie Feldstein. There's a girl named Bernie Feldstein. Also, Lisa, sounds like a writer for like All in the Family. Lisa Kudrow, Will Forte, and
you realize,
Jason Sudeikis.
What? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I stepped on you.
I was just saying Which Lisa Kudrow, yes. Will Forte, and Jason Sudeikis.
You realize this is also before Memorial Day.
It's released Memorial Day weekend. I consider that. You're saying Memorial Day, that Monday, the federal holiday.
Is Memorial Day like May 24th? I thought it was May 31st for some reason. I guess I'm wrong.
I think it's the weekend before. I think. Oh, shit. Did I have that wrong?
When is Memorial Day? Is this episode unlistenable with us trying to figure out everything that happens in the world and how things happen? Memorial Day.
I was right.
Is
the weekend of the 24th, 24th to 27th.
No, this just in. Marvel has moved that.
Oh, shit.
It is now in March.
Is it April? Yeah. Now it's already
Memorial
happened.
Day is now in March.
I hope you had
March,
a good Memorial Day.
Thanks to Marvel. It was Stan Lee's dying wish to move Memorial Day to March.
Stan Lee. This is a coming-of-age movie. The Red Band trailer looks legitimately funny. Has some good laughs over it. Kind of like Superbad, although a little more grown up, a little more sophisticated. This is about two girls who were sort of... imagine like Superbad meets Say Anything. Like these two girls are sort of... straight shooters, straight and narrow. You know, they didn't party too much in high school. They didn't go crazy. Here comes graduation. They realize, shit, everyone else went crazy and partied and did crazy shit and got into the same college as we did. This is our chance to make up for it, right? It's like graduation night. We're going to go nuts. And it's one of those movies. Hopefully it's done really well. The, like I said, the Red Band trailer is legitimately funny. Booksmart is in theaters May 24th.
Now there's another movie coming out that looks a little bit like Superbad. Might that be on your list?
No.
I know. Do you know what I'm talking about? Good Boys?
No.
Oh, Good Boys.
Did I come across Good Boys?
I am a victim of the Red Band trailer for this one. It was very good looking and very funny. Jacob Tremblay, Will Forte, Molly Gordon.
I will say I've been burned by Red Band trailers before.
Yeah. A lot of times.
Sausage Party is a bad example.
Dude, the one that I didn't see from last year that was on my list, the Happy Time Murders.
Pixels?
Happy Timer?
Pixels was on our list, by the way.
Oh, no. I never saw the picks.
Oh, all right. No.
Good Boys is not on my list. I just thought I'd bring that up. All right. Give me one second here.
It comes out in August. That is too late for summer.
Nope. August is right in the heart of summer. Too late. I don't know what you're talking about.
Too late.
Are you working over there for Marvel?
Too late.
Too late. Too late. You're too late, Alva. You're too late, Alva. Alva. Sorry.
Alva.
Number four for me. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's a fucking Marvel movie. I'll say it. And you know what? I'm kind of excited to see it.
Well, of course you are.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Far From Home. He's far from home, right?
He's in
now,
Europe.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I thought that Marvel's shutting down shop. Everything's done.
No.
Dunskies.
No.
Endgame, Brian. Endgame ends it all.
They have a number of movies coming out this summer.
What else they got coming out this summer?
X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, we'll figure out from Geo if that counts.
I already emailed with him, and X-Men movies do count.
Spider-Man Far From Home 2019 being released July 5th. That's the day after this nation's birthday.
That is true.
This is directed once again by John Watts, director of Spider-Man Homecoming, as well as Cop Car, which is fucking tight.
Did
right?
you really like Cop Car? I'm thinking of Let's Be Cops.
Love Cop Car.
Oh, yeah, I think of Let's Be Cops.
Love me some Cop Car.
That's the Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
The kids are great.
I thought it Let's Be Cops.
I love me some Cop. Now, that's one of the reasons why I think I liked Spider-Man so much, Homecoming. I liked it enough to want to see what else that director made. I think a few listeners also said, hey, if you like that Homecoming, you should see one of his earlier movies that he made, Cop Car. I went and watched it, and now I associate Cop Car with Spider-Man Homecoming.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're kind of interwoven
in my
mind.
It's a prequel.
So anyways, here we go. It's the same cast and crew. We got Tom Holland over here, and he's playing Spider-Man again. And I'm gonna leave it at that. I really have not seen any trailers for this. I don't know much about who the villain is. I don't really care. It's got my money. I'm going to go see it.
Psyched.
I love this iteration of Spider-Man. Love. We might hear more about that on the Patreon only episode this month.
Interesting.
Spider-Man Far From Home, July 5th. Far From Home.
Number three.
What? I can't say what happened to him, but I saw something happen to Peter Parker in one of the Avengers movies.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I wonder how they're dealing with that, like, you know, whole timeline thing.
Infinity War, which is...
Although, okay, so this obviously takes
Am I wasting my time with these thoughts?
Okay, have you seen the trailer?
For what?
For Spider-Man Far From Home? You really haven't? Okay, well, in the trailer, Nick Fury shows up, and Spider-Man has a conversation that's something along the lines of, like, you're Nick Fury, as though they'd never met before, which would lead me to believe that this takes place in the events before.
Oh, okay. I love that you know that he's met him since. I don't want to be
able
to tell
you. Well, no, I don't know, but it would make sense.
I would
sense
love to take a test if he is, fail miserably.
But it would make sense that if he is fighting alongside the Avengers in Infinity War, at some point he had to have met Nick Fury. At some point he had to have met Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. Right?
Who is Nick Fury?
Samuel L. Jackson? You really didn't know that?
I forget, because he's also Mr. Freeze. It's very confusing.
He was just featured prominently in Captain Marvel.
I would have, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Of course. Prominent. Nick Fury. All the names kind of, all the silly little names, they all kind of.
Dr. Strange.
Dr. fucking Strange. I mean, it's like 12-year-old boys are in the treehouses coming up with these names. And that might be the case. Maybe Stan Lee came up with all this shit while he was, you know, in between masturbation sessions in his treehouse when he was a kid.
You give a long list of names. Like, I'm going to use these someday.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of time you come up with like silly shit when you're a kid.
When you're masturbating.
It sticks. I mean, that's what you're doing when you're Stanley at 12 years old.
Think of silly names.
Is this upsetting many people? Is this blasphemy?
We'll ask
is this
Gio.
Like talking about Jesus?
We'll ask Gio when he comes on. Number three for me. This is another one that had you asked me a few years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, I would have been like, no fucking way. I'm putting a Fast and Furious movie on the list. But I'll tell you something, Anderson. Hobbs and Shaw.
You're an idiot.
I'm down for
You're
Hobbs
a fucking
and Shaw.
Fool.
August 2nd, Hobbs and Shaw hits theaters. I'm psyched. Number one.
No, it's number nine, Brian.
Number one for me. Directed by David Leitch, director, shadow director of
Feels
John
like
Rick.
You're mispronouncing his name.
Is it not Leitch?
I would.
L-E-I-T-C-H? L-E-I-T-C-H.
I don't know.
Director of Atomic Blonde and director of Deadpool 2, all movies I enjoyed.
Both
quite a bit. Three movies. He did not do both Deadpools.
Oh, you said all, but I thought you only named two movies.
I named John Wick, Shadow.
Oh,
John
I didn't hear
Wick,
you say the John Wick.
Atomic Blonde and Deadpool 2. All good movies.
Well, you got John Wick 3 on your list?
No, I'm marginally interested. Marginally, but even the second one was just more of the same. Anyhow, back to Hobbs and Shaw. Here's the thing, Anderson. Have you ever seen a Fast or Furious movie?
I saw the first one, and it was mind-numbing. And it made me nauseous. A little sick. Like all the bravado and hubris made me a little bit nauseous.
Okay, I'm you're the perfect person to tell this to. The Fast and Furious movies have really settled into a groove. Like they know what they are.
They're like
they're tongue in cheek. They're
superhero
over the top.
Movies now.
Yeah, they're over the top. They're tongue in cheek. They're self aware. They're a little bit silly.
Oh, I saw most, but it was in chunks. Most of 7 on a boat when I was on a cruise.
7 was a pretty good movie.
While drunk.
I like
in,
7.
In my stateroom. I wasn't seriously watching it. It was just on.
Right. 7
my wife
was not
sleeping.
Bad. Hobbs and Shaw looks very fun, very dumb, very silly. Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham are Hobbs and Shaw. Idris Elba as the bad guy. Oh, I'm psyched. The franchise is firing on all cylinders, no pun intended, and I am down for a little Hobbs and Shaw.
I am not.
Oh. I will assign this shit to you.
No.
I'm assigning it to you now.
It's a number 9, right?
I haven't. Well, it's a spinoff, so I don't know if it's actually technically a 9. It's like, you know, it's not canon.
Number 3 for me. I don't have to spend much time on this at all. I really liked what Favi did with the Jungle Book as far as bringing those characters to life in a very, very realistic CGI manner. A lot of the time CGI makes me want to turn away in disgust. However, what he did with the animals, say what you want about the story and, you know, whether it worked for you or not, I don't know. I still need to see Mogwai.
Doesn't this feel cynical, though? Doesn't this feel like, hey, that worked. Let's do it again. We
have
a lot of properties we can
I don't know. It's weird. I can't quite put my finger on why I'm cool with it because I'm a kingy, Brian. I love my Lion King. Love it. I love it, Brian. I saw it probably 5 times in the theater. Made me cry every time. Very excited about
Tess
showing Atticus.
Into it, by the way, now, by the way. She's seen it like 5 times.
I really don't have a problem with them bringing this one to like real life. I don't know why. I'm curious to see how it goes, and I think it's in pretty good hands. I think Favreau's a pretty accomplished director for things like this. You know what I mean?
He has a sweet spot.
I mean, I had problems with Elf and the way he directed Elf because it seemed like it was for, you know, like snide adults the first half. And then by the end, it turned into like a total kids movie and there's nothing there for snide adults. I don't know. It had some tonal issues. And that's what they talk about with directing a lot of time. It's just managing tone. And I feel like he had problems earlier. But if anyone could direct Lion King, I think I would go with either Favreau or Werner Herzog, because I mean that would be interesting.
Actual lions.
That would be very. Oh, he would use actual lions. He probably would. We lost many children, but the artist forever.
By the way, there's a Werner documentary coming out. Have you seen it? It's called Meeting Gorbachev.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I am a German. The first German you have met probably tried to kill you.
He's the best. I've been bad though. He's made like two or three documentaries since the last one I saw, which was the internet one. Was the last one that I saw.
That was so good.
Was it? I never saw it.
Oh, you know, he's kind of hit and miss. He's kind of like, you know, a lot of parts of town people know. Like, you know, it's like block to block. Like, hey, I'm thinking about moving to this part of town. Like, oh, you got to go check out, the, you know, at nighttime. Make sure that you're on the right block, block to block. Werner Herzog's film catalog is kind of like that. It's block to block. Like, he'll make something that like a little leader likes to fly, and then he'll make something. I don't want to badmouth any movies, but he's made some real stinkies, Brian. Fitzcarraldo.
Fitzcarraldo's
not a stinkies. Not a stinkies.
It's effortful.
Go ahead.
Is it my number two?
We're not taking breaks, bitch.
No breaks.
Oh, my God. We're flying through this. I don't know if it's going to be an hour-long episode. We got to slow down. Slow it down, everybody. Slow it the fuck down.
Number two. I'll do like the sloths at the DMV in Zootopia.
Please don't.
Number two. Will we have crossover with this movie? I'm psyched for number two.
How do you not have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet?
I haven't gotten there yet. Number two.
Are you really number one in that?
Yesterday. How excited were you yesterday?
Great premise. Not a summer movie because it comes out like next week, doesn't it?
June 28th.
Oh, okay, never mind. I like the premise, and I think speaking of the right directors, this is Danny Boyle's sweet spot, right?
Danny Boyle's written by Richard Curtis, whose Love Actually you and I both enjoy.
Yep. I love the premise. So simple. It's right there on everyone's nose for their entire life. Think of this storyline. It's so goddamn simple and run with it.
Perfect, lighthearted, high concept summer movie. So the concept is
a lot like About Time.
Yeah.
As far as the ridiculous concept.
The writer of About Time, exactly. I should point out. Exactly. Yes, the concept of Yesterday is that I don't know if he's a struggling musician or he's a
he dabbles.
Unsuccessful musician.
He dabbles.
Part-time hobbyist. Through some mystical power, he wakes up one day and after getting hit by a bus, and he is the only one on this earth who remembers the music of the Beatles.
Who knows the music?
Yeah, no one's ever heard of it.
Now he's in an alternate universe where the Beatles do not exist.
There's never been a Beatles.
Beatles, like, what are you, like the bug? Yeah,
and he knows every Beatles song, so he starts to release them, becomes a huge international success, and it's like Anderson said, it's right there. It's that concept of like, that would absolutely work as a concept. It looks fun. It's a dream pairing of a writer and director for this kind of material. Richard Curtis, the writer, Danny Boyle, the director. Yesterday, June 28th, I am psyched.
Yeah, Danny Boyle, makes some, there's another connection with Werner. When I saw Werner speak at the, and I spilled wine on his blanket there at the Hollywood Forever when he was showing Treasure of the Sierra Madre, some idiot asked how his movies relate or are similar to Danny Boyle. And it was right after Danny Boyle had won Best Director, I think, for Slumdog. And Werner Herzog's response, I've told the story numerous times, but it bears repeating numerous times. It's fucking hilarious. And Werner's response to him being compared with Danny Boyle was, who is this? I've never heard of her.
Do you think Werner's ever watched the Oscars?
No. I mean, he watches like four movies a year.
He's probably been nominated.
This guy doesn't even know what movies are.
He's probably been nominated for an Oscar, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he has.
Certainly for documentary.
I think that the you know what?
Grizzly Man was that nominated?
Yeah, I think it might have even won. All right, must find out. And I also got to recall the very long title of that movie that I like very much of his that I'm totally drawing a blank on. From
Werner.
Lo and Behold, Reveries of a Connected World. That was the last documentary I saw of his. He has since done Salt and Fire and Into the Inferno. And now Meeting Gorbachev. He's got four other movies in the works. This man is prolific. 73 credits as director.
He has been nominated for an Oscar. He has not won, but he was nominated for, did not know what this was, Encounters at the End of the World.
I saw that in the theater, yeah.
They're good?
It's about global climate change there, and he's going and he's looking at polar ice caps and whatnot. It was kind of a snooze fest. I was shocked that it was up for best documentary that year. Shocked.
Timely with the message, I guess. Anyway, Werner.
Dieter needs to fly. Little Dieter needs to fly.
We need to.
Little Dieter.
Isn't it great? I'm just envisioning Werner Herzog doing like mundane things, like taking out the trash. Going to the ATM.
But he would still, like, you watch Burden of Dreams, Brian, and like you can just, is it streaming anywhere? Because you can just pop in at any spot there, and if he's speaking, it's whatever he's saying sounds like the most profound thing you've ever heard, and it's usually about ants raining down on your head or something.
Burden of Dreams is streaming. You can rent it on iTunes, or it's on Canopy and the Sundance Channel.
Are you asking me?
No, it's such small print. I'm looking to see.
Oh, Bad Lieutenant Port of Call's New Orleans.
A Criterion
Port of Call, New Orleans.
Do they have a Criterion channel?
Yeah, it just opened. It just opened recently. And I was shocked and appalled to find that Touch of Evil nor Giant was streaming on the Criterion.
Outrageous!
But you know what it is? A lot of Werner shit.
Burn your dreams.
Rescue Dawn. You ever see Rescue Dawn?
No. Oh, that's the one with the
Christian Bale and Steve Zahn.
The dragons?
No.
That's
Rain of Fire.
Rain of Fire.
No, Rescue Dawn is a Vietnam film about prisoners of war. Fighter pilots. It's the little Dieter. Oh, it's so good.
Fun.
Oh, so Werner Herzog. There's a very jarring beheading that comes out of fucking left field in Rescue Dawn. And you're just like, whoa, what just happened?
They're more or less jarring than the beheading in Tenet Plus Tenebrous Lux.
Oh my God, is that not Steve Zahn in that? I thought for sure Steve Zahn
was in
this. Come
on, buddy. Make a call here.
I know. I got to get back to the program. But how is Steve Zahn in my head? Steve Zahn is absolutely in this movie. Oh, did he pull his name out of it? Steve Zahn's totally in this movie. Oh, there he is. Okay. He's not in the credit. He's not in the, like, when you look at the credits, but he's at the top. Okay. Of course, Steve Zahn's in this fucking movie. Beheading in Post Tenebra Lux, you kind of saw it coming because he's giving it some effort. He's really pulling hard for a while.
Yeah, it takes a good 5 to 10
Rescue
seconds.
Dawn, it's just like you think everything is cool, and then nope, not cool, Brian. All right. Are we going to go moving on to my number two? Is that what's going on?
Please.
Number two for me. Once again, doesn't need a whole lot of talk. Toy Story 4.
You literally weren't going to give it a lot of talk.
Toy Story 4 comes out June 21st. I should also say, as far as Lion King, we got to wait till July 19th. I really like their TV ad campaign a couple weeks ago. It's like 100 days. I'm like, that's only going to work today for this ad.
That's right.
And then I haven't seen like 77 days. I haven't seen anything since.
Although you think if they ran it tomorrow, like that would be, anyone would do the math? Like, I'm sorry, you're off Toy Story 2.
I'm sure. Internet is a very knowing thing, Brian. And people like to point out shortcomings.
That's a good point.
I believe
it's
it'll be a Twitter storm, Brian. That's there might be a Twitter storm.
It feels like what Twitter's
it might
made for.
Break the internet, Brian. It might break the internet. Lion King has broken the internet with their misinformation.
Do you think if you slowed this episode down to like 90% speed, anyone would notice, but it would still get over like an hour?
We're not doing that.
Okay.
Also, there's multiple files, so I think we're okay. Brian. Okay. Don't sweat. Right, hold on. We're way over an hour. We're already an hour 15. We're good.
That's your number two?
Number two for me. Yeah, Toy Story 4. Once again, here's why these are problematic, these lists for me, is because I try not to, for movies that I'm actually excited about and I want to go in fresh, I try not to track down their fucking trailer. Mm. Like, even though it's hard to go to the IMDb page without seeing it because they're just playing it for you before I even ask for it. But I don't even know, like, much like with Spider-Man, I don't know who the villains are. I don't know what the storyline is. All I know is who's in it. Keanu Reeves is in this one. Patricia Arquette's in this one. And, of course, you got Tom Hanks is back. Jordan Peele's in this one.
Oh, the voice. Oh, I'm so confused. About Toy Story 4?
Yeah.
Okay. I was so confused. I thought you were talking about Spider-Man. Like, Keanu Reeves?
Oh, no. Yeah, sorry. Much like Spider-Man, I don't know, you know, the actual. Right. So I don't know how much information I'm giving here other than dates.
Very little.
And movies that I'm excited
Very
to
little.
See. Huh. All right.
Number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What is that?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, July 26th, Quentin Tarantino's next film written and directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Dumb.
Unlike everyone else, I felt burned by Hateful Eight. I did not like, but I'm still on board for any Quentin Tarantino projects.
That's so weird.
Burned.
I liked Hateful Eight.
Burned.
Wait, did I like Hateful Eight? Yeah, I liked Hateful Eight. No, I liked Hateful Eight. I liked,
you tricked yourself into liking
it. No, I liked it. I really liked the widescreen and how he liked it.
I'm glad you mentioned that because they did the stupid 35mm or 70mm print, and they did the program and the what. It was all to dupe people. All to, like,
I
no,
like it when
something
he's...
Good.
When he's duplicating things from yesteryear, from bygone time, Brian, with like the technology and actually using the CinemaScope, and because that is usually used for wide sweeping epics where like we're outside and we see these grand like valleys and you know vistas, and like, he was confined to a little fucking cabin. Like that was impressive to me. That was really impressive, and he made it work.
Duped,
and you know he did the little show off thing with the opening sequence, which. I'll always hold dear to my heart. Just showed how, you know, say what you want about him, and I do a lot of like it. One of the worst things you can say to me, and I've heard it numerous times, is you see groupers and you're like, ah, he must like Tarantino. Mm. Fuck no! Like that movie, Grouper's is not influenced by Tarantino. I get that. I hear that a lot.
Really?
I hear it a lot. And it bothers me because he was one of the last people in my mind when I'm writing Grouper's and directing Grouper's. I'm not thinking Tarantino at all. I'm not a Tarantino guy. But
you're thinking more Michael Bay, Ron Howard.
Yeah, Michael Bay for sure. Polanski, you know, as far as his like set shenanigans.
Chris Columbus.
Chris Columbus, yeah. Weinstein, like his editing ways and it just his producing ways.
Joel Schumacher, Schumacher.
No Schumacher. Schumacher's fine.
Really?
Schumacher's just like a...
he's kind of a mail it in, you know, corporate guy. But
Schumacher's interesting because he lets everyone do their job, and I don't think he ever says no, so every movie completely looks different. His name is the only thing that's like the through line. I think he just lets everyone do their job in their department.
He doesn't have a ton of...
But, I mean, you can't go from Weinstein to Schumacher. Mm. You can't do that. That's not fair to Schum.
That's true.
All right, so where were we? What were we talking about?
Talking about number one.
Oh. Yeah. Your list is weird looking. All right, my number one. Oh, what were we talking about? We're talking about Tarantino. So I appreciate what he's doing, like execution and using the actual technology and shooting on actual film and trying to go back to yesterday that way. But then when he's just mocking or paying homage with the zoom in, zoom out, zoom, all that shit, which we see all over the trailer for Once Upon a Time in America.
Mostly in Hollywood.
Hollywood. Why did you not enjoy Hateful Eight? What was your problem with it?
I feel like the thread of the movie got lost very quickly. It just kind of became silly and blood everywhere. And
that's how most of his movies are.
No, but
that's how I feel about almost all of his movies, but this one just kind of worked for me.
See, that's the opposite. I feel like that's fine. The other movies, they work for me, and they're justified with all the blood and all the whatever. This just felt like in lieu of a compelling story or really, you know, memorable characters, we're just going to, you know, throw a lot of blood out there and see what happens.
I mean, you can say that about every single one of his movies. Inglourious Bastards, like, I really liked it until the end. And then it was just like, all right, stylized violence, and it's all fictionalized.
The end was earned, though, because the rest of the movie was so good. For Inglourious Bastards.
I felt Hateful Eight was very small, and I didn't love it, but I love Jennifer Jason Leigh in it. And I love that opening shot where it just settles on the cross on the tree.
It also felt so overwritten. Daisy Domagoo.
All of his shit is completely overwritten.
But again, this is the one that wasn't good enough to justify all that.
Number one for me. This is a movie that I've been touting for literally over a year now. And it has seen its ups and it has seen its downs. Rocket Man is not a summer movie, bro. Is it?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
When's it coming out? I'm into Rocket Man. I'm down with Rocket Man.
I don't know.
I'm excited for Rocket Man.
I don't know the date.
I'm going to see Rocket Man.
I don't know the date.
Not my number one, though. Current War. The Current War is my number one. Fuck the yes. The Current War. There's still hope for this movie.
Did we talk about this? It's been shelved for quite some time.
There's still hope for this movie. It absolutely has been shelved. The Current War is a dramatic story of the race of electricity titans, Brian, brought to life so beautifully in that Drunk History episode that many of us saw, with Crispin Glover playing Edison, who's just an asshole. He's a fucking asshole. John C. Reilly playing Tesla.
This is a 2017 film, according to IMDb.
Yes, it's been shelved, and I'll tell you why. That man that I was just talking about, how I like to try and model my editing abilities after, Harvey Fuckstein. Harvey Weinstein, the prick that he is. Not only was he being awful to these ladies that he was trying to, you know, show off with his gum proficiency into plants, he was taking, on a regular basis, taking filmmakers' movies and saying, yeah, it doesn't work in its current form. Let me go edit it. And I don't know what that looks like. I know it's not fat fuck sitting in an editing bay actually, you know, moving the dial and making cuts. He's sitting there with editors telling them to change this, drop that.
Cut that out.
And I would imagine a lot of it's a power move. He did this with The Founder, a movie that you and I both liked, and then he fucking buried that movie, and like no one saw The Founder, and The Founder is a fucking really good movie. He tried to do it with this one. It screened at TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival, like a couple years ago.
2017.
Now, the current war. And it was Harvey's cut, and it was panned. And long story short, Alfonso Gomez-Rion, thank God he got it. He got it back. I think due in large part to Mindfuck getting, you know, taken off the planet. He's wiped clean, essentially. And so movies like this that he was trying to like sit his fat ass on. Like he was like the kid in the
wait, do you have a date for this?
No, not yet. August. Sometime in August.
Because there's no release date.
But he was like, he would like sit down, like he would just, you know, like a little fat kid that they couldn't beat you up, but it'd sit on you. Like he'd sit on people's films and just shelve them. So he got it back. Alfonso Gomez Rion, who is that, you might ask? Oh, he's the guy that directed a little film that you can't help but see and say, this kid's going to make some fucking art. I'm talking about Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Yeah.
Love that fucking movie. He also did a movie that I went back and watched because I love that Me and Earl and the Dying Girl so much. He made a movie called The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which was very, very meta and enjoyable. But you haven't really heard much from him since.
He made a movie for 2017.
Because of this current war debacle. He has since recut it. Apparently, it's now being well-received. The edit does make a big difference with a lot of people's films. Not everyone's films, but a lot of people.
Oh, sure.
They say that the final rewrite is in the editing bag.
Did you tell the cast? Because it's quite packed full of talent.
I haven't even got there. Why don't you regale?
Tom Holland, Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's playing Thomas Edison.
That's right. Nicholas Holt as Nikola Tesla.
Holt, yes.
I always heard Nikolai. Anyway, and Michael Shannon. And Catherine Watterson.
He's playing George Westinghouse. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess this is less about Tesla and Edison and more about Westinghouse and Edison. Mm-hmm. But either way, I mean, it's a story that is rich with characters and storylines, and I've been excited about this one for a while, so it's finally coming out. Let's see. Luckily, I didn't go see. I don't know if I was even available ever to see the original cut.
There's no release date, and you actually might have picked a film for your number one that doesn't come out in the summer.
No, it's coming out in August.
Okay,
sometime in August.
We'll see.
I got it on good authority.
Oh,
sometime in August.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So anyways, that's my number one.
One crossover is my number one. Your number five. Almost no crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
All right. What do we do now?
We're going to go over some also-rans. Listener top five. What do you want to do?
Also-rans. Sure. Why don't you go down to some also-rans?
Do you have a listener top five there?
Oh, yeah. Should I do the listener top five right now?
We'll,
yeah, that's how we do it.
We'll do over films that didn't get mentioned.
So Chad Yuki doing a bang-up job for us compiling the listener list, which is arduous, takes a while. And this week he had to make two lists because much like you, Brian, a number of listeners had films that were not I don't even see the list until right now. That's funny. That didn't fall on the appropriate date. So number five for the wrong dates is Palms, which I think they're just fucking with us. It's that movie about the old cheerleaders.
Stop it.
I think they're joking.
No.
Number four is Joker. I don't even know when that.
Oh, that's not a summer movie, is it? No. That's fall.
That's why it's wrong.
Oh, I see.
This is the wrong list. Number three is
Joker. Does look pretty sweet though.
Number three was Groupers. I didn't see this till just now because I cut and paste. That's kind of funny. Groupers. I don't know if it's gonna be a summer release.
Joker is October 4th. And by the way, the film you mentioned,
not summertime. Unless Marvel changes.
What's the one you asked about? Hold on, I have it right here. Rocket Man is May 31st.
Oh, that's a summer movie.
Summer film.
John Wick Chapter 3. That's a wrong vote.
No, that is a summer movie.
Yeah. I don't know if it is. And Avengers Endgame was number one. But wrong date. All right, so here are the right dates for the listener list. Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
No, boo.
I'm going to see that shit.
I'll probably see it too.
Spider-Man, Far From Home. I'm not sure what that is. Yesterday.
May 17th for John Wick.
Yesterday, Brad.
Sweet.
Number two is Toy Story 4. Number one is yours, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That was really number three was yesterday? Was the list top number three?
Yeah, and number
That's
two
great to see.
Toy Story.
Wow, a little movie like that.
It's getting a lot of play at the theaters, too. There's a lot of trailers coming out, and the trailer makes
I haven't seen a trailer, so I looked it up online. Also, Rans, for me, I am quietly a big fan of the X-Men franchise, so I will see Dark Phoenix.
Why are you going to be quiet?
Quietly? Well, quietly, I don't tout it too much. John Wick Chapter 3, I will see. Toy Story 4, I'm looking forward to. Ad Astra, very close to making the list, but I couldn't find much information about it. Not much info.
But all you need to know... Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah.
What? Ad Astra?
Yeah.
It's a science fiction outer space film starring Brad Pitt. So hopefully it's good and hopefully more information comes out about it.
Framing John DeLorean looks interesting, right? About the John DeLorean story.
I imagine it's about Framing John DeLorean.
What's that?
I imagine it's about Framing John
DeLorean. Yeah, it has something to do with that. Sorry, my actual notes got eradicated somehow, so I'm just going through this giant list that I have. Stuber, which is directed by the guy who did Goon and Fubar, and it's a detective recruits his Uber driver into an unexpected night of adventure from the guy that directed Fubar, which we both enjoyed, as well as Goon. I mentioned it earlier in the program, Brian, but The Good Boys. Good Boys looks like super bad, but I didn't love super bad because it was so absurd with the cops, like John Hader, who I usually love. I couldn't buy in. But Good Boys, the red band trailer, had me laughing very hard. Will Forte and Jacob Tremblay, and the kid, the black kid from The Last Man on Earth. It looks very fun. Mm-hmm. 3 6th grade boys ditch school and embark on an epic journey while carrying accidental stolen drugs, being hunted by teenage girls, and trying to make their way home in time for a long-awaited party. It looks good. Good okay. Boys.
All right.
And finally, on Also Rans, Brian, is actually I got a number, but I'll just leave it here. Midsommar, a young woman reluctantly joins her boyfriend on a summer trip where things quickly go awry.
Trailer's depressing.
The director is Ari Aster, director of Hereditary. So, of course, I'm going to see what he makes next.
Also looking forward to The Hustle. Also looking forward to that one. That didn't make the list for a reason, but I'll give it a shot. Where Do You Go, Bernadette? Mm. The Kitchen, Blinded by the Light, and Will See Rocket Man.
What about The Dead Don't Die? Mm. It's a movie made for Logan.
I was going to say. If it's good, I'll check it out.
Jim Jarmusch directs Adam Driver, Chloe Sevigny, Tilda Swinton, and Bill Murray in The Dead Don't Die, which is a comedic take on the zombie apocalypse, which I feel like it's been done comedically, seriously. Game of Thrones-y.
How many more ways is there to do the zombie?
How many times do we got to see dead corpses be a threat? Mm. How many times?
Are we going to gamble or what? Let's welcome to the show Giovanni. What's happening, buddy?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, I want to say thank you, well, for a lot of things, but number one, as it pertains to this show, thanks for helping us out with the gambling in the last few weeks. Your needlessly elaborate emails are helping quite a bit.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I like that we're actually doing the live to tape for this because usually it involves three separate emails, Brian. He does a lot of work for us.
Indeed.
And I don't think I have to open any of those or figure out what to open first or any of that shit while I try and do the show. So appreciate that. However, you did send over that mystery fan art or listener art, which I we can't use it this week. So do I just erase that one? Do I try to remember that and open it next week? Somebody
save it for next week. Or I'll resend it to you.
Yeah, somebody sent made some listener art for us, Brian, mm-hmm. but they wanted both of us to be surprised, I guess. Oh. So Gio's going to act as proxy. So I'm erasing that right now. Cool. Okay,
fair enough.
All right. So last week, you wanted to take it away there?
Yeah, what did we gamble on last week?
Disney's Penguins, 2019.
Stupid.
Okay.
And?
What were our guesses?
Brian had a guess of 70 and Anderson said 67.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Drop.
As of today, right before the show started, came in 91% top critics and then 80% from everybody else.
Way too high.
Outstanding. Anderson, I assign you Penguins. Disney's Penguins. Anderson, I'm going to assign you a film that's going to warm those cold cockles.
Huh.
That's The Amazing Grace.
Huh.
You're going to love it.
What about Hail Satan?
You're going to see that anyway.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
By your own admission.
Motherfucks.
Pretty sweet.
Motherfucks.
Come on, buddy.
All right, what are we gambling on this week, Logan? Giovanni?
Gio Logan.
We have the first movie to choose from, of course, Avengers Endgame, and then Little Woods, The White Crow, Body at Brighton Rock, or Carmen Street Guitars.
See all the fear out there?
Mm-hmm.
They're
all scattering. I don't know the score for Avengers Endgame. So
I wonder
I'm
if
happy
there's a bookmaker that would take odds on Little Woods beating Endgame.
I'm sure they would.
What
would
the odds be?
They'd offer whatever they want, something like that. Happen.
I know too much about Little Woods, so we can't do that one. And I know too little about the other one, so I can't do them. Unless you know Endgame, do you know Endgame?
I don't.
Neither do I.
No. Or you want to write down a number?
Yeah.
Gio, on a scale of 1 to 100, how excited are you for Endgame?
As excited as I can be for a movie as a 35-year-old man who feels like he's falling apart. So as much excitement as I can muster, I have it.
When did you start falling apart, Logan? In fact, Gio, was that like 20?
Earlier, probably the first time I got run over by a car.
Uh-huh. Gio's always got something really, really fucking heavy going on. And
I started getting acid reflux when I was 12.
You know how I say like life's like a dramatic comedy? It's just dramatic with the Gio.
No, but he has a good sense of humor about it, though.
Yeah, he does.
He alludes to the first time I got run over by a car.
I don't know if he was trying to be funny there, though.
That was hilarious.
We had a discussion earlier in the program. For those of you who might not know, Giovanni is, what's his moniker?
Superfan Gio.
Superfan Gio. Sorry, Gio, I'm fasting again today, so I'm not as quick as I should be. Superfan Gio, great archivist. I don't think this show would be nearly on the scale that it is without Gio's help over the years.
Oh, no, he has come through many times.
Way
us.
Back in many the 97 times. One days, helping us get a bit of an audience over there. And we didn't even know we had anyone listening. And thanks to Gio, reposting the shows and collecting the shows. So owe a lot to Gio.
Indeed.
And you're one of the few people that I go back and forth with a lot, Gio, who I've never met in person. So I look forward to meeting you one day in person. However, all that aside, what do you like more, Marvel or Harry Man?
Oh, well, it's weird. I was exposed to Marvel before Adam, but my relationship to comics and Marvel is a bit different than most like weird comic book geek nerd type people, and also very different than the modern people who've kind of glommed onto it, which I love because it makes like this really nerdy shit I loved as a kid now popular amongst like people who would used to mock it or make fun of it. Like you see like women in the audience freaking out for like Marvel movies. They're like, oh, wow, that's very cool. They're involved in this.
Quite a turn.
But Corolla's probably more important to my life overall just because when it came into play. And the Marvel stuff, it seemed like it was dead and gone. And then the movies kind of changed everything. But so I'd say Adam Carolla's universe is more important. That's how I met you guys. And
he's playing the crowd.
There
here.
You go. I
playing
like that. Crowd. All right, Anderson, what number do you have for Marvel's Avengers Endgame?
Alexei Morozov.
That would be 102?
95.
Oh, 94.
Oh.
Who gives us a bad review?
I will.
All right, you guys want to know what it is?
How many reviews are in so far, Gio? Can you see that?
I'll pull it up, but do you want to know the number or no?
Yeah, I want to know the number.
Absolutely.
It's 97, and it's tied with Little Woods, the other movie Anderson mentioned. So that was a very funny little great magnet tidbit.
That could come down.
Yeah, it could. Yeah. All right, cool. We got a race. We got a race here.
I need 3 points.
You know what? I was going off of all of the crazy numbers that Marvel has been getting the last, I'd say half a dozen movies have all been in the 90s, I think.
Mm.
Has there been what was the last Marvel movie that dipped below 90 as far as Rotten Tomatoes goes?
Wow.
Do you know?
Jeez. Thor the Dark World?
I'll say Thor 2 is pretty low, but has there been one since? Wait, was the Amazing Spider-Man movies, the James Garfield movies, were those after that?
Well, those aren't Marvel.
Those weren't Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only Homecoming.
Okay, we're gonna have to have a discussion about this in our
205 reviews in for Endgame.
All right. There's probably going to be like another 70 or so, I'd imagine. So, yeah, it could still move. It could swing.
Right.
And the dicks always come out of the woodwork late.
Yeah.
They're always, everyone else liked it, but I don't.
You
sounds know
what,
familiar.
The late reviews or they are like the newspaper, like the old school, you know what I mean? The newspaper guy. So, they might be a little crotchety.
All right, well, thank you very much, Giovanni, and we will talk to you on the Patreon episode, which is going to be top 5 Marvel movies of all time. That's what Brian and I are going to be doing for the Patreon bonus episode this month. So thanks for being a part of this one.
I can't wait.
And we will talk to you later, my friend.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
See you, buddy.
All right, let me unplug him. Oh, I unplugged me. Whoops.
Well, no, you're still talking to the mic. You just can't hear yourself.
Yeah, I know. I unplugged me. All right, how's this going to work? I got to unplug this.
No, we just hung up on him. We're good.
No, but I got to...
What?
Well, don't hang up on him. That's just rude.
We're wrapping up the show.
I know, but I got to...
What?
I got to plug things, buddy.
You can plug nothing.
I got to plug.
Okay, plug away.
I mean, not actually plug like events or anything.
You want me to plug some stuff while you do that? You might actually plug some stuff?
I'm plugged in now. Tightness. I miss the board. The board is broken, and I miss it. Oh, you know what? I didn't even get to use...
Oh, no. Oh, that's good. I'm looking at the listener art for this week.
Oh, it's really good, isn't it?
Good.
Isn't it good?
Never before has a grown man suckled so hard. Hurtful.
Adam's Favorite is the title of that listener art. Adam's Favorite.
No, it's called F-A-V. The Favorite. It's called The Favorite.
No, but what he titled it when he sent it to me is Adam's Favorite. That's what he titled the file, Brian. All right. Let's get out of here.
Good stuff. That is from, hold on, I have it right here.
Sam.
That is from...
Sam
Williams. Thanks, Sam. That is excellent fan art. Check it out, AndersonandBrian.com. Featured artists this week include the Smug Saints, the Urethras, and the Lion-Faced Boy. Get your raffle tickets now. Go to where do you want to go? Where do you want to send them to?
AndersonandBrian.com. AndersonCowan.com. I'll have it up there.
Get as many as you want. We're going to draw one, and the winner will come be invited. Perhaps if it's a film, if the film vault has the most money raised, the listener may be flown out by yours truly to support LLS for your chance to come out and bowl with us. Patreon. Patreon.com/TheFilmVault. Available now. Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Sniff Track included for all Patreon members.
We're over-delivering on the Patreon, too, because I'm in charge of it all and making sure that you guys are getting your money's worth. If you're a Film Vault enthusiast, if you hate the Film Vault, it's a terrible value. It's really bad. You
that's
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You have so much Film Vault coming your way.
Yeah,
so if you hate us...
Yeah, why on earth would you even do that?
Not
it's
a good...
It's a bad investment.
Yeah.
The Amazon banner is up top, AndersonBryan.com, if you're doing your shopping for what's coming up? Is it April? Mother's Day. If you're getting any Mother's Day presents, any soaps or bath salts, that's what chicks like.
My birthday's coming up, May 11th, so if you want to buy me something, you know, click through.
Is your birthday on Mother's Day this year?
A lot of the time it does land on Mother's Day. I don't think it does this year. I think it's the day before. Okay. I have to share my fucking birthday with Mom. Thank God I love her.
Brutal. The Amazon banner is at the top, AndersonBryan.com. And, groupers at Film Invasion LA, Saturday, June 8th at 10 p.m.
It's in Sherman Oaks,
California, in the Valley.
Sherman Oaks.
Tickets avail at AndersonAndBryan.com. Go to Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vault. And, until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh. And, baby, I hope you're around, because I'm coming.